The podcast you're about to listen to was created just for you, a consenting adult. It's going to be graphic and explicit, so there you go. You've been warned.
All of my life, I've never fit. But I won't complain and I won't quit. I am enormous. Get used to it. Everyone tells me I'm too much. Maybe it's just you're not enough for me. Can't you see? I'm the kind of woman I'm supposed to be.
Hi there, and welcome to the Bawdy Storytelling Podcast. I am sexual folklorist Dixie De La Tour, and this is episode 86. You guys, something really big happened this week. Something that made me cry. And you know I cry from time to time, but this was a good cry. I got notified by a reporter, and they asked for photos for something, but they didn't tell me what the photos were for, and I was like, that's weird. Why would they be writing about us? That's interesting. And the next day, they sent me a link to the article, and we got a best of. We got a best of from Forbes magazine. Has Forbes magazine ever written about sex podcasts? Have they ever? This is not their territory. And to make the five best sex-related podcasts to listen to, I kind of felt like now. Things are happening now. Somebody called it the tipping point, and I don't know if that's true, and it's probably not, but it felt so good to have Forbes magazine think that Bawdy Storytelling is great. It just blew me away. I've been riding high as a kite all week off of it. I wanted to share it with you. I couldn't wait to record the podcast because I got to tell you too. I just don't understand it. I never thought I'd be any good at this podcast thing, but you guys love these stories, don't you? And obviously people like reporters do too. I just did another interview. It'll be coming up soon. And when I was having a phone interview with a reporter, I made him almost cry on the phone. And this is not the sort of outlet that would cry on the phone. That was my news for this week. I was really excited to share it with you. The other thing that happened this week is you guys have heard me talk about my St. Bernard Quake, right? Quake's kind of the love of my life. It's so nice to go tour with the show and come back, and there's this 165-pound monster who I am his absolute favorite person in the world. Everybody deserves this kind of love. Just to have somebody so glad to see you when you walk through the door. And this week was his adoptiversary. Saturday was the anniversary of the date that I adopted him. And I'm going to tell you the story of Quake. It has nothing to do with sex, but it is a story. So I appreciate you listening. I have always had St. Bernards. I just love how goofy their faces are. I love the fact that you can't really be depressed when you look at that face. You look at them and go, you're right, I'm being ridiculous. So when my last St. Bernard mac and cheese died, I was just, I couldn't really function. She died of cancer. I grieved her. I believe you should stop and grieve and not turn around and get another puppy just as soon as you can. And my partner, Bent, and I talked about it. And I said, I gotta have another dog. Like, a house is not a home without a dog. We talked about it. He said, I can't deal with a dog's death again anytime soon. It's gotta be a young dog. And we started looking at St. Bernard rescue places. We found one about 3 hours away, but it was a male dog. You guys, I identify as a pervert. And if anybody makes jokes about me, you know, having sex with a dog, that's when you get punched in the face. Like, I was like, I don't know if a pervert could have a male dog. But this dog was just adorable. I was in love with him. except his name was Ricky. And my name is Dixie. And I cannot have a dog named Ricky because people are going to be making Ricky Bobby jokes for the rest of my life. And I just don't tolerate that. So we went to meet him, fell madly in love, gave him a bath, took him for a walk on the beach, checked him out, and turned around to take him home. And I was like, now we have to rename the dog because it can't be Ricky. So I tried names the whole time. On the drive home, I'm yelling Brisket into the back seat. Anything that sounds like Ricky, so that we can get this dog to kind of adapt to a new name. And nothing's working. This dog does not care. We get home, it's like midnight, and we settle down, make him a little bed right next to our bed, and we go to sleep about midnight. And at 3:20 a.m., the whole house is shaking. It's just feels like the windows are going to break. The whole building is shaking harder than I've ever felt a building shake. And I sat upright and I went, oh my God, is that the dog? And my partner went, it's a quake. And the dog jumped on the bed and looked at us like, why'd you call my name? So his name is Quake. He named himself. This is the 5-year anniversary of the, I don't know, I've heard 6.0. I've heard 7.1. It was a big earthquake. This is the 5-year anniversary of the Napa quake and the 5-year anniversary of Quake coming into my life and upending it in the best possible way. So it's been a great week. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being part of this week. How do you bring body storytelling to your city? That's simple. The Test Tickle. Go to bodystorytelling.com/testtickle. Look at the list of cities and vote for the city nearest you. You tell us where body storytelling is going to go next. And remember, it's going to end on September 23rd. That's the first day of fall. So vote as soon as you can and tell your friends to vote. You tell us where to go and we'll be there. Go to bodystorytelling.com/testtickle and vote now. You know I believe in good, clean living, right? That's why I'm excited to tell you about Native, a company that creates safe, effective, simple products that people use in the bathroom every day. Products with trusted ingredients and trusted performance. Native can keep you smelling good for your workout or for your 16-hour day. Less is more. They have fewer, simpler ingredients, so you know everything that's in your deodorant. Native is formulated without aluminum, parabens, or talc, and they use ingredients we know. Ingredients found in nature, such as coconut oil, shea butter, tapioca starch to absorb wetness, and nature shuns animal testing. That's really important to me, and I bet it is for you too. Native comes in a wide variety of enticing scents, scents like lavender and rose, cucumber and mint, and more. My armpits are sporting Native's coconut and vanilla scent right this very minute. Plus, Native releases new limited edition seasonal scents throughout the year, and they also offer an unscented formula and a baking soda free formula for people with sensitivities. Sound too good to be true? Go check out the more than 8,000 five-star reviews from their customers, and there's no risk to try. They offer free returns and exchanges in the United States if you're not completely satisfied. And they have a special offer to listeners of the Body Storytelling Podcast. Right now, you can get 20% off your first purchase. Just visit nativedeodorant.com and use the promo code Dixie during checkout. Y'all, take care of your body. It's the only place you have to live. Visit nativedeodorant.com, use the promo code DIXIE, and get 20% off and free shipping. I have been saving this story for you. I've been wanting to share it with you, but I felt like season 5 was when you get to finally hear this story. You are going to learn so much. After last week's episode, I got a lot of messages in the Body Storytelling Fiends and Fans Facebook group who were saying, oh my God, the terfucking, I just learned so many new things that my body could do that I never knew I wanted to do with it before. This episode's going to do that same sort of thing in a different way. I'm going to tell you what you should know about your storyteller, and then you're going to get to hear this story. Marco Salsiccia is a non-monogamous, kinky, geeky, and silly Bay Area native who also happens to be fully blind. A San Francisco resident since 2002, he was an accomplished animator and VFX artist before suddenly losing his vision in 2014. He now works as an accessibility specialist, consulting and making apps and sites functional for the blind, the visually impaired, and other disabled people. Some of his interests include food, playing and making board games accessible, accessibility advocacy, the San Jose Sharks, he loves the San Jose Sharks, the symphony, checking out munches and parties with his partner, fun dates, annoying his cat, and you're about to learn about something else that Marco likes to do. This storyteller is Marco Salsiccia.
So I'm kneeling on a king-sized bed, and I have a half-naked woman lying down in front of me. And I'm a little nervous, a little bit of deer in the headlights as to how the rest of this night is going to go, but it all kind of starts melting away as my hands start exploring her body. I'm seeing her with my hands, feeling her thighs, her short skirt and panties, her stomach, her breasts, her large nipples. The bed bounces a bit as some people jump on next to us, but my attention is brought back to the woman. When her hand slides up my back, cups the back of my head, and pulls me down towards her chest. I take her nipple in my mouth, I purse my lips around her breast, and I start to suck, and her milk begins to flow, and it's absolutely delicious. Erotic lactation, or the sexual interest in a lactating woman, combining breast play, nipple play, and milk in one really tasty package. It's something I've been into for quite some time, yet the origin of my interest in this has a pretty confusing route. I was 8 years old and living in San Jose, and my parents, in our living room, we had a television cabinet that had doors that closed over the screen. Every night we would turn the TV off, close the doors, and go to bed. One day after everyone went to sleep, I was thirsty, so I got up and I was walking across the dark living room, and I noticed some light was streaming from behind those closed doors. Well, that's weird. I got to go turn that TV off. I don't know why someone didn't left it on. I wandered over, opened the doors, and my hand is reaching for the power button, and I freeze. What is this on the screen? I have no idea what I'm looking at. Two women, no clothes on. Are those breasts? Wow, so that's what they look like. One, they seem to be enjoying each other. One woman has her mouth on the other's breast. That's wow. And something's dripping. What's dripping? There's some fluid, something coming off the tips of the breasts. But I'm just flummoxed. I have no idea. I'm completely paralyzed. Just what? My brain's is broken. My dad comes into the room. He sees me, yells, runs over, shoves me away from the TV, grabs the doors and slams them shut over the screen. I'm telling him, but there was light. I was trying to turn it off. I mean, but he's having none of it. He just yells at me to go to my room. So I run away, scared, ashamed. I've done something wrong, but I don't quite know what. But those images, those dripping breasts just stayed with me. Now I'm 14 years old and living in Morgan Hill, and I'm a latchkey kid, so I have a bunch of time to myself after I come home from school before my parents get there. And so what does any 14-year-old, you know, computer nerd with a 56K modem in 1998, what do we do when we're home alone? Porn! I had no qualms about clicking that 18 or over link, and so I had this really fun thing I would do where I would load a video or click on an image and wait for it to load in Netscape, and then I'd run across the house and make sure my parents were walking up the driveway, and then by the time I got back to the computer, it had been loaded. Now, one day I'm stopped in my tracks because an image loads, and it's this woman smiling, squeezing her large breasts, and there's fluid spraying out of her nipples. And I knew I had seen something on the TV screen all those years ago, and here's this woman just with milk coming out of her breasts. And in sex ed and in health class, of course, I know the physiological purpose of breasts is to feed babies after a woman gives birth, but here's a woman just playing with it. And I start looking at the category lactation, and I start finding videos and images of women squirting their milk into coffee and over cereal or spraying it on their partners and licking it off, or men and women just drinking straight from the breasts. And it was, I had a crazy awkward teenage boner. And I'm just clicking through and loading all these images, and it looks like a lot of fun. And I realize, well, in order to do that, I'll have to have a partner and have a baby in order to play with this, but I'm 14. That's light years away. So I just I just put all that at the back of my head and just kind of keep it as a porn interest. Now, years and years go by, and life changes. I lost my vision completely about 4 years ago, but I'm still able to use my phone and use a computer with a screen reader and different accessibility technology. So I'm using it to put together a FetLife profile, Facebook for perverts. I'm coming through all the fetishes, adding them to my interest list, and I find lactation. And I click into it, and I find thousands of people are really into this. And I find some local groups for ANR and ABF, or adult nursing relationships, or adult breastfeeding. And it's just blowing my mind. Oh, wow, there's actually people for this. I find that there's a thing called a milk munch, or a gathering of like-minded people. And it's happening just down the street over at Wicked Grounds, the kinky coffee shop. And I decide to attend. They have a dollar off milkshakes for all attendees, and I thought, so that seemed like a pretty good idea. I go in, there are about 6-7 people there, a mixture of men and women, and they are all just as into this as I am. There are people that have actually experienced all of the stuff that I've seen in those pictures and videos, and we start geeking out about it. I learned that you don't have to be pregnant to induce lactation, to create the milk in your breasts. You could use different medicines like domperidone or spices like fenugreek, which actually create or amplify milk supply. I found out you could use hormones like progesterone to trick your body into thinking it's pregnant and then starting the whole milk-making process. Combining that with a nursing partner, someone to suck your nipples for 20 minutes, 6 times a day, maybe about 2.5-3 weeks, and that's about what it takes to get it started. It's a tremendous time commitment. It's a lot of high maintenance and a lot of maintenance to continue it on afterwards, but there were women into this, and there were people like us that really wanted to drink and play with it. So I just get getting really excited. I go back to FetLife, and sure enough, I find that there are posts for nurses looking for nursers. So nurses have the milk, and nursers would be someone like me to go and drink it. And someone was really interested in doing a non-sexual version of it. Just come over, drink the milk, that's all it is. So I figure that's a really great way to actually see if I'm into this at all. Like, let's actually taste it. Let's see if I'm into doing it. So I do. She teaches me how to purse my lips and latch, or get my lips around the areola, not just on the nipple, but take it into my mouth, provide the right amount of suction. And as I'm doing this, this warm liquid fills my mouth, and my eyes just bug open. Think Quaker oats oatmeal, the maple brown sugar, like the last bit of milk at the end of the bowl. It is really sweet. Just warm melted vanilla ice cream with a heavy hint of brown sugar. And I'm absolutely hooked. This is awesome. But now I really wanted to play with the erotic side of it. Not just the non-sexual. I wanted to actually do the stuff that I was seeing in those pictures and videos. And back in the FetLife group, I find a link to Kik. And Kik is a chat room app for your phone. And there was an ANR and ABF local group. And the people there were really warm and friendly and inviting. And they didn't care that I was blind. And we all decided to do just an in-person meetup. So we all met up at the Vulcan Thai Cafe out in Oakland. And there are about 12 of us there or so. And in that meeting, most internet meetings are usually awkward, but this actually worked out because we all had a really interesting common interest. And there I meet Liz, Pete, Mona, and John. Now, Liz and Mona, they are lactating women. And John is Mona's ANR partner. So their whole relationship is built around her nursing from her, or him nursing from her. And Pete is on FetLife, and we had a lot of common interests. Liz has a really warm and inviting voice. Mona's super geeky. We have a lot to talk about. John's into Bay Area sports, and we're just clicking on all these different levels. And we feel the chemistry, and we decided, okay, maybe we could actually try for a play party and see how that goes. And sure enough, a few weeks later, here we are. I'm on my way to Liz's house out near Fruitvale in Oakland, and 8 of us show up from that meetup. We've ordered a ton of tacos from a local taqueria, and we're just munching away happily one sunny Sunday out in Oakland in our back patio, talking and trying to get to know each other a bit more. We go inside, we play some rounds of Cards Against Humanity, which really helps break the ice. And I mean, we're all kind of nervous. We're just kind of kicking around. I'm like, wow, we're actually going to be doing this. And then Liz stands up and says, okay, everyone who wants to play or nurse, head back to the bedroom. And so six of us get up and we do just that. And this is the moment. This is what I've been waiting for. I don't know how it's going to go. How are we going to communicate? Is this going to go really well? And I'm thinking all these thoughts as I wander down the hallway, turn into the bedroom, and there I am. Liz plops down on the bed, and I kneel over her, and I start feeling her body, and she tugs me in towards her breast, and I start to drink. Now, Liz takes fenugreek, which is one of the spices I mentioned that amplifies milk supply, and a really, really fun side effect of fenugreek is that it makes your bodily fluids smell and taste like maple syrup. Now, I fucking love maple syrup. So I'm just in heaven, just drinking from her. At the same time, Mona, John, and Mona's husband, Nate, all come into the room. And forgot to mention, we're all non-monogamous here, so this is all something we're all happy to play with one another. Nate gets onto the bed, head, resting against the headboard. He likes to watch all the lactation play. Mona lays against him, and John starts sucking on Mona's breast. Pete comes into the room and starts taking Liz's other breast in his mouth, and now she has two men sucking on both of her nipples at once, and she orgasms from nipple play. So she is writhing in bliss just on the bed, orgasm after orgasm as we're both drinking her milk. Eventually, she needs a bit of a break, so I get up and I move over to Mona. Now, after consenting, Mona let me feel her, the rest of her body, and explore her. She's a voluptuous woman, has large breasts and really soft curves, and she lets me start drinking from her, and she tastes like French vanilla custard. And so just this, all the sweet milk is just, it's really blowing my mind at how different everyone is, but how amazing it is from each woman. I'm starting to drink. Pete leaves the room. Liz gets up and starts making out with Mona before coming over to my side of the bed. Now I have two milky breasts right next to one another. And this is like dream come true territory. Popping off of Mona's breast. Now Liz's breast, I'm drinking from her. I'm drinking from Mona. We're going back and forth. And Liz is above me just describing what's happening around me. And Nate's describing what's happening. So I get a sense and not just relying on all the moaning and sucking sounds that are coming from everywhere. As I'm working on Liz's breast, all of a sudden I feel a splash of liquid across my face and chest. And I'm just shocked. Wow, what was that? Nate had leaned over and grabbed Mona's breast and was now hand expressing, squeezing the milk to make it spray out of Mona's nipple and was just hitting me with it. And that's from that image I saw those years ago. That's what it feels like. And I was just loving it. And we ended up having this hilarious milk fight. John is squeezing one breast, I'm squeezing the other. I'm learning how to do it. Milk is going everywhere. Liz is doing it. We start going to see who can go for distance and speed. And Liz is able to hit John in the face from across Mona's body and right into his mouth. We start cracking up, and then she grabs me by the chin, starts squirting straight into my mouth and all over my beard, and we're just an aroused, milky mess. John takes a break. Liz goes over to Mona, starts drinking from her for a bit, and then we take a bit of a lull in the party. And then Liz grabs me, starts making out with me, and pulls me down the bed on top of her. I taste Mona's milk in her mouth, and all that nervousness and everything from before just melted away. We were like all clicking on all levels now. I kiss down her body. I drink the milk from her breasts a little bit more. Then I go down between her legs. I want to thank her for all this that she's given all of us. And so she helps me take her skirt and panties off, and I lean in. And remember what I said about fenugreek making everything taste like maple syrup? Everything tastes like maple syrup. And I just devour her. I treat her clit like a nipple, and she just orgasm after orgasm, and she's loving it. Everyone else is loving it around us. Eventually, she bats me away from me going a little too much, and I go up to kiss her, and she bats me away again, laughing because my beard is just covered in milk and maple juice, and I go and clean up. I come back, and Nate has moved out from behind Mona and is now going down on Liz. Well, I talk to Mona. She wants to have a go, and so she takes her panties off, lays on the bed, spreads her legs, and I get down between her. And again, those those flavor notes are everywhere. So she tastes like French vanilla down there. Eventually, Liz gets up to leave the room to check on the other guests, and Nate comes back up and takes Mona's left breast in his mouth. John is there taking Mona's right breast in his mouth, and I'm down between her legs eating her out. She tells me that she feels like a human buffet, just feeding all of us at once. And my fingers are inside her, I'm working on her clit, and her hips are just rocking, and she's moaning from the nipple play and breast play above me, and I'm just amazed at how many orgasms she can have just over and over until finally she taps out. And her milk is also, the milk is not infinite. It runs out after a little bit. It needs some time to regenerate. But we just collapse in this huge sweaty pile of milky goodness all over the bed. I go to clean up and I'm just left alone with my thoughts. And I just have to laugh. One of the side effects of drinking the milk is this oxytocin rush through your body that just gives you all this energy and you're just feeling really happy. And it left me, I had just taken a fantasy and realized it in one of the most astounding ways possible. I was able to push open those doors that had been slammed on me all those years ago and wash all that shame away by finding this community of people that were so welcoming and normalized this interest that I had and made it a lot of fun. And so I urge all of you out there that if you have an interest that makes you happy or makes others happy, maybe you're ashamed of it. I mean, just don't be. There's a community out there for you. Just find those doors, gather your resolve, and push through them. Thank you.
If I tell you my dirty little secret, will you promise to guard and keep it on the down low? It might change the way you think of me, I know. But if we're being honest, here I go. I'm attracted to a certain kind of female that's beautiful, comparable to no other. It's only fair that I share with you the detail that pretty soon that type will be a mother. It's not transmittable like a dog bite passes rabies. I'm just so turned on by a woman full of babies. She's all knocked up, what a knockout, belly popping out, that's what I'm talking about. She's expecting, I'm erecting. She's with child and curvy, guess that makes me kinda pervy, yeah, I get it. Pregnant women are so sexy, there, I said it. It's got nothing to do with the bun that's in the oven. Rest assured, I'm not some weird molester. It's about the glow, the confidence that I'm loving. And I like kids between the first and third trimester. Her effervescence makes me feel less like a cynic. Nothing makes me too messent like a prenatal clinic. She's all knocked up, what a knockout, belly popping out, that's what I'm talking about. She's expecting, I'm erecting. Makes me a sweaty brown wiper, makes me wanna wear a diaper and then wet it. Ugh, pregnant women are so sexy, there I said it. Their hair and skin shine and it's softer than silk. Maternal maidens made of similar ilk. And if I get a peek at where they're making all that milk, I might explode. Oh, she make my water break and I should be ashamed of myself. But I'm not. If that's your wife, your girl, your surrogate lover. I'm not the only one to think she's yummy. I mean no disrespect, I'm no dummy. I think pregnant women should be respected because they face the pressure of not only carrying, but delivering, nursing, and nurturing, and raising another human being, which is an instinctually natural process, also riddled with self-doubt, financial expectations, worry, pressure, selfless, muted ambivalence, and also boobs and butts and a big round tummy. It might be wrong, it might come off as naughty, but show me a woman who's showing, and I'll show you a hottie. Oh, all knocked up, what a knockout, belly popping out, that's what I'm talking about. She's expecting, I'm erecting. She's gonna be a mommy, that's why I'm touching my salami. No, 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 no. Pregnant women are so sexy, there, I said it one more time. All knocked up, what a knockout, belly popping out, that's what I'm talking about. She'll be lactating, I'll be masturbating. Hey there, good looking, said what you got cooking. Oh yeah, baby, wow, that's a lady, that's a full of baby, a rooskadoo. Her little waddle turns my throttle, vroom, vroom. Pregnant women, this one's for you. And I really hoped that she had an orgasm too.
That was Dirty Little Secret, a song written especially for body storytelling by Jefferson Berge. Have you heard about Manscaped? The number one brand in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for you or your partner's family jewels. Don't use the same trimmer on your face and your balls. Use the Lawnmower 2.0 and protect yourself or the balls of a loved one. It has proprietary skin-safe technology and it won't nick your nuts. Plus, you can help defeat summertime ball sweat with their Crop Preserver anti-chafing deodorant and moisturizer. This is the perfect gift. You seem thoughtful, and you make untrimmed pubes a thing of the past. And right now, you can go to manscaped.com, use the promo code Dixie, and get 20% off and free shipping. If you love dongs as much as I do, then it's time to get clean. Save 20% and get free shipping when you go to manscaped.com and use the code DIXIE. If you enjoy the Body Storytelling Podcast, the award-winning body storytelling podcast that is getting rave reviews from media outlets that never touch what we do. A podcast about sex, kink, and gender? Oh, really? But we're getting best ofs from Marie Claire and GQ and Esquire and Forbes. You can help us make this podcast bigger. You can help us make it better. You can help support it. There are costs associated with producing a podcast. You have to host it. You have to pay someone to edit it. You have to pay for the music rights to the songs that you use. There are so many costs, and they're only going to grow as the podcast grows. I want to grow, and I need your help. So go to patreon.com, spelled patreon.com/body. You know how to spell body. And support us however you can. I'm coming up with new rewards right now, new ways to interact with fans. I want you to be part of my mission. Go to patreon.com/body, and thanks for your support. I can't tell you how happy I am that you guys are getting it. I'm getting emails from you telling me you're buying tickets to the live shows and that I'm going to see your face soon. We're going to get to toast each other with a dirty cocktail with a name like the Unicorn's Butthole or the CBT. We'll get to say hi face to face and make new friends. So let me tell you about upcoming live shows for Body Storytelling, and I want you to pay attention because we have a new date to announce and we also have some rescheduled dates. So here we go. On Wednesday, September 25th in Seattle, we're back after hiatus. That's our first show. It's going to be Hurt So Good in Seattle at the Rebar Seattle. Pitch me your story, dixie@bodystorytelling.com. On Sunday, September 29th, we are doing a Folsom Street Fair Kinktacular in San Francisco. It stars Milena Williams-Haas coming in all the way from New York. It features the amazing Rachel Lark as our musical act, and we have so many special surprises for you in this show. Tickets are on sale. You know where they are. Here's a new one. On Thursday, October 3rd, we are coming to LA. We're going to be at Busby's East. It's a great venue. They're going to let us make special cocktails for you. The ticket links just went up on our website. So we'll see you in LA, I hope. By the way, I'm looking for stories. Here are our rescheduled dates. So here's the thing to know. There was a snafu with the venue in terms of scheduling. We had to push our dates off. Here's the good news about that. That means you have more time to submit your story pitch to me. And it gives you more time. We all know you're busy as hell in September. October is going to be a much easier time to come see the show. And the first show has moved from midweek to a Friday night. You're going to be able to kick off your weekend with Body Storytelling. On Friday, October 18th, we are going to be at Avondale Music Hall in Chicago. And then Wednesday, October 30th, that's a new date. That's in New York. And that's at the Chelsea Music Hall. You can find tickets for all of these shows at bodystorytelling.com or on the websites for Avondale Music Hall or Chelsea Music Hall for our Chicago and our New York shows. Do you think I make this thing all by myself? No way. I want to say thank you to the team that makes the Body Storytelling podcast possible. Thank you to podcast producer Marty Garcia. Thank you to sound engineer David Grossoff, to project manager Dana Hanna, to video archivist Joe Moore. Thank you to you. Thank you for writing us a review. I really love to read your reviews. Thank you for giving us as many stars as you think we deserve for creating this place where we can talk about buttholes together. Thank you for listening and telling one friend about the podcast this week. You can tell five, but one's a good start. Thank you so much for listening. This has been episode 86 of the Body Storytelling Podcast. Here's a peek at what's next.
The first thing I see when I walk through the door is this table, and it's like an array of medieval weaponry or something. And I'm like, Jack, what is this? And she's like, harness, gag, nipple clamps, paddle, cane, flogger. It's BDSM night!